English USA vous présente African Voices in Conversation, des conversations en anglais qui ont attrait à la vie quotidienne au Sénégal. Pour télécharger ces leçons, allez sur le site internet www.lavoixdelamérique.com, cliquez sur « Apprenez l'anglais » et retrouvez les leçons d'anglais spéciales Sénégal. Louise, journaliste américaine en stage en Afrique, prend un car rapide, type de véhicule de transport en commun très populaire. Elle invite son collègue allemand à faire le trajet avec elle. Nous découvrirons l'ambiance du car rapide avec eux. Nous allons écouter les passagers dans le car rapide. Vous répondrez vrai ou faux, true or false, aux deux énoncés. 1. L'apprenti souhaite la bienvenue à bord du car rapide à Andrew. 2. Pour l'apprenti, le poisson de la passagère n'est pas frais. Vous répondrez ensuite à ces trois questions. 1. Pourquoi Louise préfère-t-elle s'asseoir au salon du car rapide? 2. Quels sont les personnages que nous entendons parler dans cette conversation? 3. Qu'est-il arrivé à la passagère qui s'est disputée avec l'apprenti? Vous entendrez des phrases à l'impératif et utiliserez à votre tour le mode impératif. Nous allons écouter ce couple.
Welcome on board, Andrew.
Move inside the living room. There are seats inside. And don't block the way.
Living room?
Yes, it's my favorite part.
Why? Is it the most comfortable?
Well, it's certainly the most entertaining. It's where you'll find special passengers, philosophers, politicians, coaches. They all want to change the world.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Hey, lady, stop trying to squeeze in. You're too big, mama.
You rude, rude apprentice. I could be your mother. I've paid the same fare as any other passenger in your rusty old banger of a so-called car rapide. It's no car, and it's certainly not rapide.
Don't worry, mama. This car rapide is faster than Usain Bolt. And next time, you pay double fare. You take up two seats.
I won't pay, you nasty mouth street boy.
Oh my, we may have picked the wrong bus.
Nah, they're all like this. It's part of the fun.
Oh no, my fish, my fresh fish.
What's your problem now, mama?
Someone stole my fish. It was in a blue plastic bag. Thief, thief.
What thief, mama? And what fresh fish? I can smell it from here. Ugh, what a stink!
Driver, let's go to the police station. No thief will get away with my fresh fish.
Nous avons entendu et suivi cette scène dans un car rapide. L'énoncé 1 est faux. L'apprenti souhaite la bienvenue à bord du car rapide à Andrew. L'énoncé 2 est vrai. Pour l'apprenti, le poisson de la passagère n'est pas frais. Voilà les réponses aux trois questions. 1. Pourquoi Louise préfère-t-elle s'asseoir au salon du car rapide? C'est son endroit préféré. 2. Quels sont les personnages que nous entendons parler dans cette conversation? Louise, Andrew, l'apprenti et la passagère. 3. Qu'est-il arrivé à la passagère qui s'est disputée avec l'apprenti? Quelqu'un est descendu avec son poisson frais. Nous avons entendu l'apprenti donner des ordres aux passagers. À cet effet, il a utilisé l'impératif. Répétez ces ordres et découvrez leur traduction en français. Move inside. Avancez. Stop the music. Arrêtez la musique. Listen. Écoutez. Nous avons entendu aussi les phrases utilisant l'impératif négatif avec don't. Il peut aussi exprimer un conseil, une prière, etc. Répétez ces phrases maintenant et découvrez l'impératif négatif. Don't move inside. N'avancez pas. Don't stop the music. N'arrêtez pas la musique. Don't block the passage. Ne bloquez pas le passage. Répétez enfin l'impératif à la première personne du pluriel avec let's. C'est la contraction de let us. Let's move inside. Avançons. Let's stop the music. Arrêtons la musique. Let's go to the police station. Allons au poste de police. Comme Louise et Andrew, nous avons découvert l'ambiance de ce car rapide. Vous avez répondu vrai ou faux aux énoncés et répondu aux questions. Vous savez maintenant utiliser l'impératif en anglais. Pour plus de renseignements au sujet des cours d'anglais, Learning English, allez au site internet suivant à americanenglish.state.gov ou à voalearningenglish.com. Welcome to Business English. Bienvenue à notre émission consacrée à l'anglais commercial aux États-Unis. Dans ce programme, vous participerez à des voyages d'affaires, à des conversations téléphoniques, à l'échange de messages e-mail et à des interviews. Au micro, Michel Joseph. Dans cette leçon, nous allons vous présenter trois personnes d'affaires qui vont être interviewées au cours des prochaines leçons. Charles Blake, Mike Epstein et Shirley Graham. Kathy, Gary et Elizabeth vont faire des commentaires sur leurs invités. Tout d'abord, ils vont dire où ils vivent, le verbe « to live » au présent. « He lives in Beijing, China. »
« Mr. Blake lives in Beijing, China. »
Il vit à Pékin, en Chine. He lives in Sunnyvale, California.
Mr. Epstein lives in Sunnyvale, California, in Silicon Valley.
In Silicon Valley, une région virtuelle où se trouvent de nombreuses compagnies informatiques et de haute technologie. Silicon Valley. Ensuite, ils vont parler de leur travail. Le verbe to work au présent. He works for International Robotics.
He works for International Robotics, a Chinese company.
Il travaille pour a Chinese company, une compagnie chinoise. He works for Advanced Technology, an American company, une compagnie américaine. Que font ces compagnies? Vous allez découvrir le verbe to manufacture, fabriquer.
International Robotics manufactures industrial robots.
Par exemple, vous allez entendre International Robotics manufactures industrial robots. Fabrique des robots industriels. Produire industriellement. L'autre compagnie, Advanced Technologies makes computer components. Fabrique des pièces d'ordinateur.
Advanced Technologies makes computer components.
Computer components. Le verbe to make est passe-partout. Il peut s'appliquer dans tous les contextes. Vous l'entendrez beaucoup. It's a high-tech company. C'est une compagnie de haute technologie.
So it's a high-tech company.
High-tech company. She is his boss. Elle est son chef.
Ms. Graham is Mr. Epstein's boss. She's a vice president at Advanced Technologies.
Boss. Le directeur, le chef, ou la directrice, ou l'exécutif. She's a vice president. Elle est la vice-présidente. Écoutons la conversation qui suit. Listen.
Our first guest will be Charles Blake. Mr. Blake lives in Beijing, China. He works for International Robotics, a Chinese company.
What kind of company is it?
International Robotics manufactures industrial robots.
Robots? So it's a high-tech company.
Yes, it is. Then, in another program, we'll interview Mike Epstein. Mr. Epstein lives in Sunnyvale, California, in Silicon Valley. He works for Advanced Technologies, an American company.
That sounds like a high-tech company, too.
Yes, Advanced Technologies makes computer components. The third person we'll interview is Shirley Graham. Ms. Graham is Mr. Epstein's boss. She's a vice president at Advanced Technologies.
Écoutez et répétez. Listen and repeat.
Mr. Blake works for International Robotics, a Chinese company.
Il travaille pour International Robotics, une compagnie chinoise.
International Robotics manufactures industrial robots.
Fabrique des robots industriels.
Mike Epstein works for Advanced Technologies, an American company.
Une compagnie américaine.
Advanced Technologies makes computer components. Shirley Graham is Mr. Epstein's boss. She is a vice president at Advanced Technologies.
Et c'est tout pour cette leçon de Business English, l'anglais commercial. That's it for today. Until next time, à la prochaine fois. Au micro, Michel Joseph. Welcome to lesson number 57 of English USA. Bonjour et bienvenue à la leçon numéro 57 d'English USA. Au cours de la prochaine leçon, Martin Lerner et son voisin font circuler une pétition pour obtenir la remise en état du jardin public de leur quartier. En anglais, neighborhood. Ils bavardent avec des promeneurs dans le jardin public. Vous apprendrez aujourd'hui à donner votre âge et votre adresse. English USA est diffusé en direct de Washington. Au micro, Michel Joseph. Aujourd'hui, vous allez apprendre à dire quel âge vous avez et où vous habitez. When were you born? Quand êtes-vous né? When were you born? Quand êtes-vous né? Where were you born? Où êtes-vous né? Where were you born? Where do you live? Où habitez-vous? Where do you live? How old are you? Quel âge avez-vous? How old are you? It's none of your business. Ce n'est pas de votre affaire. It's none of your business. Ce sont des questions qu'on utilise pour remplir des formulaires, oralement ou écrits. Donc, habituez-vous quand même à les entendre.
Good morning, ladies.
Do I know you?
Maybe. I live in that building over there.
Good morning.
I have a petition. Will you read it?
I don't sign petitions.
What is it about?
It's about this park. We want to clean it up.
You don't need a petition for that.
We want the city to put trash containers at each corner.
Well, they should.
Then you should sign the petition, Olive.
I'll read it.
I'll sign it.
May I ask some questions?
All right.
Do you live in the neighborhood?
Yes. I live at 128 36th Street.
When were you born?
I was born in 1922.
How long have you lived in this neighborhood?
Oh, about 50 years. I came here when I married.
That's wonderful. Please sign your name here. What's your name?
Olive Magliacci.
How old are you?
It's none of your business.
Oh, Olive. She's 75 years old.
Where do you live?
I live at 1783 Parkway.
Where is that? Is it near here?
No. I don't live in this neighborhood.
She's visiting me.
Oh, I see. I'm sorry. Only people in the neighborhood can sign the petition.
Why? The park needs to be cleaned up.
Écoutez comment ces passants répondent aux questions de Martin. I live at 128 36th Street. J'habite au numéro 128 de la 36e rue.
Where do you live?
I live at 128 36th Street.
I live at 1783 Parkway.
Essayez maintenant de répondre vous-même aux questions de Martin. Des questions comme « How old are you ?»« Quel âge avez-vous ?» ou bien « When were you born ?»« Quand êtes-vous né ?» ou bien « Where do you live ?»« Où habitez-vous ?» Essayez de répondre.
« How old are you ?» When were you born? Where do you live? Where were you born? Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
On Parker Drive, 260 Parker Drive. It's near my school.
Of course. I know where it is.
Exerçons-nous avec les chiffres. C'est pas évident, les chiffres. Au premier abord, on se dit, c'est difficile. Mais on peut y arriver, surtout lorsqu'il s'agit de donner les chiffres qui ont à voir avec une adresse par rapport aux chiffres qui ont attrait aux finances ou les mathématiques. Tout d'abord, j'espère que vous connaissez au moins les chiffres de base. Allons-y ensemble. One. 1, 2, 2, 3, 3, 4, 4, 5, 5, 6, 6, 7, 7, 8, 8, 9, 9, 10, 10. Ensuite, par 10, on a 10, 20, 20, 30, 30, 40, 40, 50, 50, 60, 60, 70, 70, 80, 80, 90, 90, 100, 100. Donc, en connaissant les chiffres de base, c'est-à-dire de 1 à 10 ou de 1 à 20, from 1 to 10, or from 1 to 20, vous pouvez donner n'importe quelle adresse. Parce que, au lieu de dire, par exemple, 502, 502, pour une adresse donnée, vous allez dire 502. Le 0 devient tout simplement O, le O de l'alphabet latin. 502. I live at 502 Bernard Place. J'habite au 502 Place Bernard. I live at 203 Princess Avenue. J'habite au 203 Avenue Princesse. Visualisez ces chiffres dans votre tête. 502. 203. Pour les numéros qui ont quatre chiffres, les deux premiers s'assemblent en un seul numéro et les deux derniers aussi. Par exemple, 1935 devient en anglais 1935 plutôt que 1935. Donc vous alliez dire I live at 1935 Pitts Place. J'habite au 1935 Pitts Place ou au 1935. Pitts Place. Beaucoup plus facile que de dire « I live at 1935 Pitts Place ». 1935 Pitts Place, c'est traduit littéralement bien sûr, 1935 Pitts Place. Le 20204 en anglais devient 22, 24. 22, 24. And that's it for lesson number 57 of English USA. Et voilà qui termine cette leçon d'anglais numéro 57 de English USA. Ne vous découragez pas pour les chiffres, pour les adresses. Ce n'est pas du jour au lendemain qu'on les apprend. Exercez-vous avec les chiffres les plus simples en vous rappelant que pour les adresses, les chiffres se lisent le plus simplement possible. Par exemple, 102 en français, en anglais devient 102 ou bien 102. Hello and welcome back to Anglais Télé. Bienvenue à Anglais Télé. I'm Michelle Joseph. You can find us on Facebook. And I have my special guest here.
And je suis Daniel Crafton. Merci, bienvenue.
Welcome to you too. Merci, Daniel. Thanks for being with us on Anglais Télé, which you can find on Facebook. I'm reminding you again. And we have been talking about prefixes, little letters that go before a word, and suffixes, which are little letters that go afterwards. And these little letters have huge significance because they bring a lot of meaning
and
to
changes,
words
and changes. Especially changes.
Absolutely.
Right.
And these are very important nuances in English. So
right.
We are in the suffix lesson here, and we're going to look at li, like lovely.
Gently.
Wintry, if it's winter.
Right.
Lovely, everyone understands. Icy, it's been very icy out there, Dan.
Yeah.
You know, we've had a lot of ice in Washington these last few weeks.
Very cold.
Weeks,
that
so,
means a lot of cold.
So anything with E, it's just like the word, but a bit more. Or it's icy, it's just defining that it's like something.
It adds a lot of to the word.
Right, so lovely. It's
right.
Full of love. gently. Wonderfully.
What, lovely, you know, a flower can be beautiful, but lovely is making it better than that.
Ooh, absolutely.
You know?
Same with gently. An action from the heart or
right.
Can be gentle, but gently, you really, it just grabs the essence of the word.
Correct.
So that's what that extra li does, or e, y actually. You hear it as a e, like icy.
Right.
Gently, kindly, if it's with kindness. So the sound is e, even though it's a y, just for you guys who are just listening, it's a y. So.
But it's written L-Y or Y.
L-Y or Y.
Or Y.
Exactly.
So if they see it, let's not...
Yeah, if they see it, you should know that it means that extra savor to that particular word, right?
An extra little oomph.
I like that.
Which means an extra little more. Right?
An extra oomph.
Yeah, right.
That should be a suffix or a prefix.
Oomph, yeah.
We should just adopt that, you know.
Oomph. It's in the dictionary.
Wonder oomph.
O-M-P-F.
Right. Or lovely oomph. I like that. I like that. Okay, so, we have the M-E-N-T, ment.
Right.
Like establishment, government. These are big states. Or it's a state of being, like I'm in wonderment over something.
Right.
So, ment.
And see, you can even take a suffix like ment,
mm-hmm.
add it to government. Govern and
right.
Government, and you can add, well, we don't go into that, but you can add extra things after that to make it even stronger and more directed.
Mm.
Okay, so.
Okay, so.
Governmental.
Governmental,
okay?
Which is not just the government, but on top of it, it has an extra.
It means it's how people treat the government.
Okay.
Governmental. Are you very governmental? Are you very regulated?
Right.
Are you very direct? Are you very exact.
So that just like, okay, so instrument, you're making me think of instrument.
Instrumental.
Which is instrument, you're adding the ment.
Right.
You have an instrument, and then instrumental would be the adjective that really...
uses the horn or the violin or the...
Or something that is instrumental, figuratively speaking, which means it directs that action into something.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. See?
Right.
So we can take this ment thing and we can add this little EL at the end.
And add some, and it makes it
kind of a sub suffix.
Right, sub suffix. Oh my God.
A sub suffix.
We're not going there.
There is no such thing as a sub suffix.
We're not going there. It's just good to know that in English, you can just add, you keep adding. I mean, a word could end up being 20 something letters long.
It could be, yeah. And some English words are.
Yes.
And that's why English is so confusing when we're trying to make it simpler.
We're trying to break it down,
right.
Guys.
And much simpler for you people out
Absolutely.
There.
Okay. I like that one.
Yeah.
Okay, so side, like patricide. Ooh, that just brings shivers, you know?
Well, it says suicide, but that's a
so
bad one.
Side,
you know?
Has to do, side, C-I-D-E.
Right.
It comes from the Latin, of course, and that's killing.
Right.
So it could be...
Killing of animals, killing of people, killing
right,
of yourself.
Or herbicides,
of, right.
which, you know, kill
herbicide
insects.
Herbicide is... that kills bugs on plants.
Yeah,
and
insects
like
that are destroying,
your crop. And
right.
Then herbicide will fix that.
Right. Patricide, of course, is kind of sad. A dad who loses it and, you know, kills his children. Infanticide, it's the
but
same thing.
It happens,
thing.
Unfortunately.
Right, it does happen. Infanticide, killing of infants, and suicide, of course, is one of the most common ones that we all know. Killing oneself.
Right.
Okay.
A useless one.
Yeah. And one that everyone knows is insecticide. But,
right.
You know, that was not our list here, but we insecticide.
That's also for the bugs, people.
Right. So, hey, they are not bugs. Why are you pointing to them?
No.
Sorry, guys.
For your bugs that bother you, you use insecticide.
He's trying to catch up.
Yeah. I'm trying to explain.
Right. But that's very nice.
Insecticide.
Now, logy. Like
very important.
Sociology, biology, geology.
Entomology.
So, ology implies what, Dan?
A study of something.
Okay, absolutely.
In entomology, for instance, bugs.
Yes, etymology. We were talking about the bugs out there.
In fact, there's a building here in Washington, D.C., that used to be the headquarters of the Entomology Society of Washington.
Wow.
From the turn of the century. And on the walls of this building... There's bugs all over the walls, not real bugs, but...
Insects, guys, insects.
Insect, yeah, right, but not bugs.
No, but in America, they love saying bugs,
yeah,
and
we like
of course,
say,
that's a generic.
Well, I think they say bugs all over the world, yeah. a bug is something that bugs you. And
That bugs you, guys.
Right.
Insects bug people.
Right.
They
and,
disturb people. So.
And this building has got these beautiful wood insects, hand-carved all over the wall... And its building used to be the headquarters of the KGB in Washington.
Ooh.
So there's bugs on the wall, and there might be bugs in the wall.
Right, and you guys, I don't know if you've understood his pun.
No. Yeah, right.
That was a good pun.
But that's true, though.
Because bugs are also listening devices.
Right, listening devices.
Are called bugs.
Right, that monitor what you say and what you do. And they're not good, but they exist.
Okay, I'm going to get back to the ology thing.
Okay, entomology, yeah.
One famous field of study in America and, of course, in health is cardiology. We don't want to miss that because I
think... Heart surgery and heart treatment and heart health.
Heart health. Everything
heart
to do with the heart.
Right.
And the U.S. is very strong
and the doctor who does this is a cardiologist.
Oh, absolutely.
That's
another suffix that's known, and you guys
IST.
Have heard it, like a biologist.
Right. A geologist.
Geologist. So actually, that's an extension of the study.
Right.
The person who is an expert at that particular...
Yeah, biology is the science... And the person who does the science is a biologist.
Absolutely.
Right.
Okay,
and
see
we'll
you next
explain
time.
Everything to them.
All right, Dad.
Bye-bye, everybody.